Hello everyone and welcome to edition 258, that is a lot of podcasts, of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk does still indeed know Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic Christmassy Rushcutters public house on the outskirts of Norwich. We always know it's getting towards the end of the season when the Rushcutters turns Christmassy. We are going out on Future Radio, hopefully, Steve, as well as across all our podcast channels. And at almost the very end of our eighth season, we are here to review the 2019 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there. And joining us on tonight's pod, we have two times Beckles kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
And blogger and the man Lewis Hamilton fans love to hate, which I assume is still the case, and maybe that's why he hasn't been on for a little while, Callum Springall.
Good evening.
How are we both? Kyle, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
Busy, but yeah, all good. Yourself?
Not so bad, thank you. Busy indeed. I concur. I concur. Callum, how are you?
My initial thought was tired, but I think in keeping, I should probably say reasonably good.
Reasonably good. I'm working full time now, which is exciting.
Yeah, no longer an apprentice and earning an actual sum of money.
Wow. Which explains the incredible shirts you're wearing today. Is it a jacket?
This is a jacket, yeah, but I'm wearing a shirt underneath.
I mean, they are phenomenal.
Yeah?
I think so. How would you describe Callum's attire tonight, Kyle? Putting you on the spot?
Just wowsers, you know. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. And that's very nice, yeah.
You sort of revealed them under your coat, Callum. And we're both... Well, I mean, me and Kyle are pretty dull, to be honest. Which is a sad indictment of us being slightly older, I suppose. But all's good anyway.
Yeah?
Good. That's right. It wasn't an accusation. We're all right. Now we've established everyone's well. I hope you're well out there too, by the way. Let us know if you're not, or if you are. It's all fine. We're all friends here. We, of course, should head straight into the chat, which is the final race of the 2019 season, Abu Dhabi. A fitting end to the season. Well, possibly. Now, I watched the race in full while I was working away on a delayed, but I recorded it, series link. I wasn't really sure what happened because it just sort of happened. I was like, oh, right. So then I rewatched the highlights, you know, like the 7-minute highlights on YouTube. And then it quickly became apparent nothing really happened. But did it? Am I underplaying it? Tell me where I went wrong, how good it was.
I thought it was decent for an Abu Dhabi Grand Prix that didn't have a championship on it.
Or anything.
Yeah. I said my expectations were quite low beforehand, so I think that helped me kind of half enjoy it. There's a few decent bits in it. Yeah, I think it's probably not the greatest word, but decent is a decent way of summing it up.
Yeah, it was all right. I think if you're going to call it anything, then slow burner probably just about does it justice. Because there was thinking on the last lap, there was Bottas versus Leclerc. Sainz and Hülkenberg and one other, I can't remember which. It was all derivative pretty much entire strategy, which I think when you get divergence in which way teams are going on strategy and on tyres, I think that can come up with an interesting race, or at least certainly a more interesting race than if everyone literally just does exactly the same thing, which has happened plenty of times in boring as hell races. But this wasn't a classic being Abu Dhabi, but I probably could have gone worse in a way.
This is true, and I wonder if Abu Dhabi finishes off the season because the circuit's not great, but if there's something riding on it, then you know you've got a good race, and if there's nothing riding on it, then you know it doesn't matter anyway. So it's probably quite a good place for it to be in the calendar. And we saw a nice battle between Leclerc and Max Verstappen as well, didn't we, which was for a fleeting moment, that was good. Lewis Hamilton, though, we have to speak about him because I don't know if we've spoken to either of you two since he completed what we all expected him to, but dominated this weekend, fastest lap, pole, first pole for a while as well, and led every lap of the race. But, you know, fair play, because Lewis has shown extraordinary hunger again. And where's he sitting in your sort of Hamiltonometer at the moment, Callum? Because I've asked this question of you before, and it may have been Sebastian Vettel was unlucky or this, that and the other. So this year
I can't really say anything particularly derogatory about him, in all fairness.
It shouldn't be the aim, Callum. It shouldn't be the aim.
I don't think it's been his best year per se. I mean, his raw speed doesn't quite seem to have been there in some respects. But then again, you can say, what was it, 6 poles in a row for Ferrari? Because not entirely because of the drivers, but because they found, firstly, found some downforce, especially around Singapore sort of time. And really started gaining, relative to everybody else, everything out of the engine. I think, really, if you're looking at who's the fastest in terms of the cars, it's split very much between Saturday and Sunday. I don't think, genuinely, at any point during the season, Mercedes were really outclassed on a Sunday. Maybe one or two races that I completely slipped my mind, but from what I can remember, Ferrari were, particularly from the second half of the season, better in qualifying pace, but nowhere near it on race pace. So that means for a couple of races where they were on it on Sundays, they did win, but generally speaking, there was nobody apart from Red Bull, who generally don't have the pace on Saturday, to challenge Mercedes on Sunday.
I think there was some praise in there for Lewis at some point. I mean,
He's consistent. If you've got to give him anything, it's probably that. But I think particularly early on in the season, he was making small mistakes that maybe in previous years he might not have. Certainly if you're talking about one of the, you know, if you're talking about the supposedly best season from the best driver of a generation, you might not expect some of those in the sort of frequency that they did, especially when they cost him a shot at winning. Please don't ask me to bring up specific examples, because I don't really have the interest in it anymore to really care.
I tell you what, here's a question for you though. What was there a better driver than Lewis Hamilton this year?
Categorically, I don't think I could definitely say either way. I wouldn't commit to yes, because I can't back it up, in all honesty.
Interesting.
I don't genuinely think he's light years ahead of anyone. Because then, if he was, we wouldn't be talking about Leclerc and Verstappen coming through and being potential heirs to the throne. But they've got their own rough edges. If you're talking about the most well-rounded driver, Hamilton's probably it, even though he's definitely got competitors.
Yeah, I think it's very close. It was very close this year between him and Verstappen, a sort of top driver. But I'll probably just go for Hamilton because he kind of had the pressure of trying to win a championship, where Verstappen, nobody expected him to win it, so he could kind of, yeah, I suppose it's a bit more relaxed going to Grand Prix. Like Callum said, he's just mega consistent at the moment, and this kind of, you kind of think, oh, Hamilton sort of lost his spectacular ways, but I think consistent sometimes is boring. I think the amount of Grand Prix he's won from not being on pole, it's been pretty impressive this year. I think just other drivers need to be more consistent to even challenge him. I was just trying to think of it. I'll have to look, probably before the season review, I'll try and look back to see if it was his best season. So I'm not too sure at the moment, but it's definitely up there.
That can be your challenge, to get some Lewis Hamilton stats, Kyle. Yeah, it's worth saying this isn't our final pod of the season. We do always have the winter off. I think we all need it this winter. But forgive us for that. But we will be back with our season review next week, I think. We've just got to book the Christmas dinner, which is very exciting. And we'll see who else turns up, because normally it's about 24 of us somehow. I mean, yeah, it's... I don't know if it feels like we're a little bit short of competition for Lewis possibly now. I think about it, because, you know, to be brutally honest, Valtteri Bottas hasn't really been on it apart from maybe the first race of the season, which isn't the first time that's happened, or certainly just not at a level that really competes with him. Sebastian Vettel has been all over the place. I mean, it's a completely different argument in its own right, but, you know, you're probably saying Max and Charles are the, which is basically the top three, wasn't it? And was it of the World Championship in the end? So, of the Drivers' Championship?
Bottas.
Oh, and Bottas, of course. Yeah, Bottas was second. So, yeah, top three of the top four. So maybe there needs to be a bit more competition there. But I did want to just expand the debate a little bit, because one of the sort of side shows, I suppose, from the weekend was a quote from Toto Wolff in response to speculation and Lewis Hamilton disappearing down the side of the Ferrari garage by accident as a cut through, I'm sure, but Toto Wolff's quote that he's 75% sure that Lewis Hamilton will be at Mercedes come 2021, but there's 25% that he's not sure about, which might be the 25% that's had him linked with Ferrari come two seasons time. I thought it was interesting that Lewis, I can't remember what it was in relation to, but he said in a press conference, "This is the first time Ferrari have complimented me in about 20 years, whatever." So realistically, gents, could you even see it happening? I mean, it would be phenomenal if it did. I would love it if it happened, just for the spectacle, the narrative and the challenge of it. And I think for Lewis, it'd be one hell of a thing to go and do. But realistically?
I suppose there's a small chance, but
25%?
Probably, yeah. I probably agree with Toto on that. I think it'd take a lot for him to leave, because he's been with Mercedes, I suppose you could say, from he was like 12 or 13, probably, from when they gave his dad a car. And does he want to ruin that sort of legacy and future relationship with Mercedes?
That's true, because we're talking about everything afterwards, aren't we?
Yeah, and Lewis is aware of the outside world and what he wants to do probably in the future, and it's a huge brand, Mercedes, so. But then, so is Ferrari. But also, would it be a risk going to Ferrari at this stage of his career, with probably a Ferrari that in a couple of years' time fully behind Leclerc? A few of his comments, I just wonder if they're sort of negotiating early terms, and I think he mentioned a little while ago this will be his hardest negotiation, so. And he also seems to want to know what Toto Wolff's up to, which obviously he's got a lot of respect for him, and I don't know, Toto Wolff might go somewhere else and you might follow him.
That's a fair point, maybe that's the 25%.
Yeah.
And of course he's obviously lost Niki Lauda this year, so I think Hamilton will obviously be aware that probably puts extra pressure really on his relationship with Toto Wolff. I mean, we should say Lewis is out of contract at the moment and ahead of 2021, which is kind of why this has all come up, and Charles Leclerc is obviously a big factor in it all as well. What do you reckon, Callum?
In a way, I don't see why not. Because if you're thinking about his relationship with Mercedes as a brand, and you think about what he wants to do, well, the things that he talks about that he's interested in doing after his Formula One career, does it ever involve Mercedes? The only thing I think that would sway it is what sort of freedom would he get if he did join Ferrari to go and pursue his interests, because that was part of the reason why he decided to join Mercedes, was because they were more liberal with him than McLaren were in terms of managing him. I was actually thinking the other day, I know for particularly people of my generation that grew up with Ferrari being led by Michael Schumacher and Ross Brawn and being the dominant team in the sport for 10 years, but the thing is that's the anomaly. If you look at Ferrari over the course of the time they've been in Formula 1, okay, they've been at the top thereabouts, but they've always been pretty much incompetent in doing so. And you think about the last 3 or 4 years, they've had countless mishaps with strategy ups, with unreliability, and the only times that they've really been brought together is when truly brilliant drivers and brilliant people behind the scenes, like Michael Schumacher, Niki Lauda, Ross Brawn, I think it was Mauro Forghieri that designed all the cars during the 70s. So that kind of team up is what creates a dominant Ferrari, rather than the one that is the sort of competitive joke that everybody seems to see but not necessarily know. And if he's thinking about sort of cementing his legacy, that's probably the place that he's going to want to go for potentially that kind of reason.
Good, interesting point as well, just to come back on what we said, we were talking about before, talking about Ferrari not having the race pace. I mean, half the time it's been them botching their strategies, and that's what cost them, you know, higher performances on a Sunday, as well as just their pace in general too.
I think it'll also depend on, because Verstappen's also out of contract, isn't he, at the end of next year? I think there's a few of them that are all out of contract, so if you're Mercedes and you get a few, Max's dad's sort of says, well, we're interested, do you offer big money to Max Verstappen? He's the future, he's young, and I can't see the Hamilton and Verstappen being the same team. What about Hamilton rocking up at Red Bull? which is a huge brand as well, isn't it? Yeah.
I suppose you're also thinking in a way about Mercedes' intentions with Formula One, because they've just set up their Formula E team. In terms of where the market is going, especially for a manufacturer, that's more lucrative in a way to go with the trends rather than something that in 10-15 years is probably going to be quite antiquated in terms of what you think the current Formula One engine is at the moment.
Lewis is on 6 world titles, isn't he, now? So it might, again, that might play a part in what happens in 2020 in terms of whether he picks up 7 and then it'll have equaled Michael Schumacher's record. You know, does he want to beat that with Mercedes? Or, but I guess he'd have to come up with the contract negotiations during the season, so it's not like he can wait until he's won a world title. So maybe not. A lot to think about. This is why I'm not an agent, so I'll let them think about that. Brilliant. Okay, well, there are loads of ways to get in touch with us here at the NRF1 podcast. The best place to start is patreon.com, patreon.com/NRF1, where you'll find our full edition of this podcast. If you are a patron listening on Patreon, that's all coming for you, don't worry. If you're not, then head over to patreon.com/NRF1 and you'll be able to have access to the full edition of this podcast, and that will include our Of the Weekend Awards and our NRF1 pit stops. For social media, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three is at the NRF1. You can email us, the address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and there is also the website nrf1.uk.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
So with nothing left to preview, nothing left to predict, and just a cursory glance at the end of the season test around Abu Dhabi, and then the cold, long winter begins, and we will be done. Testing, was it today? Anyone see anything of it at all in any way? The only thing I saw was that a Mercedes saying, yeah, George Russell is not going to be setting any benchmarks to work out if he's going to get a Mercedes seat, apparently.
But I know two things. I know one, Perez took Vettel out, and secondly, I know that Vettel was second and 8/10 off of Bottas.
Okay,
but that's literally all I saw. And I know that Grosjean doesn't like the 2020 tyres, but he doesn't like any tyres. No, so
or driving, certainly not brakes.
Yeah. Haas doesn't like tyres, so
or Grosjean. it's quite. I like the idea of the drivers going completely rogue and just taking each other out. I quite like that idea.
must be quite a hard test to do as a driver, though, mustn't it?
Well, that's why Lewis is.
Exactly. Off, isn't it? Yeah, I mean,
I'm not doing that. See you later, boys.
Do you learn anything from it?
Well, they're presumably, they're obviously racing this year's cars, yeah, or testing this year's cars, but on next year's tyres. So it must offer a sort of beneficial data collection.
You can kind of imagine feedback on them, and then they'll probably change them.
Yeah.
So, because also it used to be a young driver's test, didn't it, at the end of the season, yeah, which kind of made more sense, didn't it? So I just kind of wonder what the motivation is to trundle around Abu Dhabi after doing it for a whole weekend, and you got to do it all again. So I don't blame Lewis for going to, was it fashion show he went to last night?
Yeah,
do that. Yeah, much better.
When he stops winning world championships, we can criticise him for it. So there we go.
After his eighth title, he's doing too much outside the sport.
He's lost the hunger. Okay, well, in that case, we are done. We will return next week, as I said, for our 2019 season review podcast. So keep an eye out for that one. And it will be freely available in its entirety on both Patreon and all our free podcast feeds. So you'll get that one in full as a little end of season treat for you all. We will wrap up our final thoughts for the F1 year, run down the final prediction league tables, and enjoy our own last supper before a well-earned winter rest. In the meantime, a big thank you to Future Radio, and of course to the Rush Cutters, as always. We'll see them next week, and it's goodbye from the crew. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Cheerio.
Thank you very much, Callum.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, all your lovely people out there and your ears. We always appreciate them. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We will see you for a final 2019 hurrah in little more than a week. Until then, good night.